Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, Lindsay Vanderbilt, Director of Communications for ETCOG, the East Texas Council of Governments. As always, good morning, Lindsay, and great to have you with us.
Good morning to you, John. So glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to the KTBB.com. Just go to KTBB.com/InFocus, and In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Lindsay, ETCOG, a regular now on In Focus. Probably every 12 or 15 months, we make an effort to get caught up with you. And along the way, there are always a lot of news releases, information that we try and get out there on our website and through our newscasts. But for the people who aren't maybe all that familiar with what ETCOG is, let's just get a brief description of who you are and what you do.
Sure. So glad to be here as always, John. Y'all are a great partner of ours and just help
Thank
us
you.
So much getting the word out. East Texas Council of Governments, we're involved in so many things. It does, it's hard to describe, and many people don't know that they're actually receiving services from our office. But our main objective is that we serve East Texas to provide a forum for our local elected officials to solve the common problems in the region. And then we also help those local governments plan and basically just present sound regional development in the region. But as I mentioned, even the residents from East Texas may be receiving services from us and may not even know it. And in some of those ways is that we operate the Area Agency on Aging, so we provide services for seniors. We're the administrator for Workforce Solutions East Texas, so all those employers and job seekers getting help from our offices, that's through us. We also build and manage the 911 call delivery system and provide the peace officer training for East Texas and many grant programs supporting public safety in the area. And we do operate GoBus. So if you've ever used that public transportation around the region, that's through our office. Also do SBA loans for those small businesses that are looking to get started and environmental grant funding for the region. So we're a very mixed bag of services, but all of it has that common goal of advancing our region. And how we are started really is, instead of receiving all of our funds from the state or the nation and they're kind of telling us what to do with them, those funds come to our office, and then the elected officials that serve on our board that are located all throughout East Texas, they help decide how those are used, what agencies and programs they should support. So it allows us to have local kind of grassroots planning, and our leaders are choosing how that happens in East Texas.
So the next question would be, what do you not do? But I guess that's for a whole other show. And that's really fascinating. And it seems as though I learn something new about ETCOG every time we do this show. Your coverage is just so vast and so varied. You cover 14 counties. Do you have them memorized? Can you name them off real quick,
man,
just to give folks an idea?
14 counties. I've actually worked here 14 years, and I still need a list sometimes. It's Anderson, Camp, Cherokee, Gregg, Harrison, Henderson, Marion, Panola, Raines, Rusk, Smith, Upshur, Van Zandt, and Wood. It's about 877,000 in population.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. And this is actually, the entire state is actually divided up into these councils of governments. Is that correct? And this is just really kind of part of a statewide initiative that started a number of years ago, I believe?
Oh, yes. It was formed by state legislature, so the entire state is split up into districts, and they can be varied size. Some of them might only be one county, and, you know, I think we're probably one that has some of the most counties. But it's not only state. Many, if not most, states also follow this plan
right, yeah.
guide. So we call them COGS for short, but, you know, as I mentioned, it's because the governments just recognize that each part of Texas is different,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we all have our own individual needs. So it allows for that uniqueness to be in the infrastructure of the community and decided locally.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay Vanderbilt joining us this morning on In Focus with the East Texas Council of Governments. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Contact information, etcog, etcog.org. It's all on there, and just a vast website that basically, from my experience, covers the waterfront as far as who you are and what you do. You can give them a call at 903-218-6400. Still located after all these years, 3800 Stone Road in Kilgore, but again, serving 14 counties around the area. There are some key things we want to talk about today. We want to get into some generic material as well, Lindsay, but some really front burner things that are going on right now, and it all appears to be really good news. And let's start with the East Texas Regional Broadband Initiative Project update. Just to intro that, we hear a lot about the challenges that rural areas have accessing reliable, quality internet service. So why don't you go ahead and just get us give us a little bit of background on that and get us up to date on where you are with it right now.
Sure. You know, some people, if they do know one thing about ETCOG, is that we have been seeking solutions on broadband in East Texas for a very long time. Our very first grant request that we worked toward began in 2009, and that was some of my early years here, and it's just been that thing in our region that we just see such a vast need for. It's the commentary we hear from our elected officials who are hearing from their residents all the time. So for a very long time, we've had the charge from our governing board to seek broadband solutions in East Texas. And our first success on actually obtaining funds to help support that need in East Texas was in 2019. We received with our matching funds, I think it's $375,000 mm-hmm. from Economic Development Administration, so commonly known as EDA. They funded a grant application where we proposed to really come up with a broadband plan in East Texas. If you notice, if you've ever applied for funds before, they really want to know exactly what you will do with it. And so we had learned over these years, we needed to actually bring all of the officials together, and we needed to decide what would each part of our communities need in terms of broadband, what is a reasonable, attainable goal. So we pitched to create this broadband strategic plan, and that we would identify and develop budgets to actually put in the broadband infrastructure in East Texas in 3 to 5 areas in each county.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working county by county to identify those projects, and then we've hired some pretty great technicals that are taking those observations and developing the plan and the budgets for them. So
okay.
Once we have this plan together, all of the other funds that are coming down from the federal government for increasing internet capacity, we would actually know what we would do with it if we got it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a challenge. It's been very eye-opening. There are some communities that have quite a bit of broadband infrastructure, and then some that have none. So what we've gotten done so far in the last year, I mean, we have been meeting and meeting and meeting, and we've gotten all the map sets developed in our area. We have identified all of the available providers in the area, so who are the internet providers in each county, and where are they located, and who do they serve. So we have a specific report that we can produce on every single county outlining that infrastructure. And something that we noticed is the absence of what's called middle mile.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, say, we propose a new broadband development area in a county, we discovered that middle mile would connect existing infrastructure.
Right.
So, and that actually is the one thing that could help, like, maybe more residential customers get connected.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news is we were allowed to put that in our plan as one of the main projects. So our tech guys have built this entire web across the region.
Gotta love those
mapping.
Tech guys.
Yes, they're so good. Things that I don't understand at all, but we have this middle mile map as part of the project, and what that does is it connects all of these infrastructure gaps, and it would ultimately solve more of a residential problem.
Uh-huh.
Y'all may, you know, the pandemic kind of showed all of us how much we rely on technology.
Oh,
how
yes.
How many Zoom meetings have you been in?
I've lost track.
Kids were, you know, sent home and did school online, so many jobs are even still working remotely today. So one good thing from that is there's a lot of federal funding that's going to be coming down to fund these types of projects more than ever before. So we feel that having this plan in place will hopefully make us more successful on seeking grants to put in this infrastructure we're planning for.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay Vanderbilt with the East Texas Council of Governments joining us this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. And as far as where you are with this broadband project right now, you tell us that you really, I guess, job one at the moment is to complete the project identification phase of your efforts as soon as possible. But the good news apparently is that that maybe is only 2 or 3 weeks away. Do I understand that correctly?
Wow. You know, that is what we're crossing our fingers for. We're so thankful for all of the elected officials in the area. Many y'all may not know, they've been working behind the scenes and have been in probably too many meetings for their liking with our staff. So I mentioned 3 to 5 projects per county. Basically, the goal is all of the counties, the 14 in our area, they're submitting those projects any day now. And our tech guys are going to take it from there. So they're going to actually map it out, see how much it would actually cost to put that infrastructure in. And with that plan, we'll be able to seek the funds to build these projects.
All righty. Your consultant team and your EDCOG staff ready to meet with county teams to assist in completing the project identification process. And that's basically where you are with it right now. And again, hopefully 2 or 3 weeks away, fingers crossed and knocking on wood, I guess. And
any
time frame on when everything will be where you want it to be? Is it, a few years down the road, or do you know yet?
No, I think we'll see our plan completed this year. And then we are going to hit the ground running in terms of EDCOG staff in applying for these federal grant opportunities that are coming down. We're in the process of hiring a broadband staff member right now. And this person, that'll be their full-time job, is, you know, working this plan and seeking the funds for it on behalf of East Texas we can really start to see this going and bring some valuable infrastructure to the region.
All right, and we'll be looking for more information on that, and I'm sure you'll let us know as you move forward with that. Speaking of things you have been letting us know about lately, we just heard within the past few days, the East Texas Economic Development District has launched data tools to attract new investors and support businesses. Economic development is just so important to individual communities and all around the region. Let's talk about this project and how it ties in with everything that everybody in East Texas is involved with in one way or another as far as economic development.
Yes, sir. We do manage the Economic Development District, and basically that's another board in our agency. We've got a lot of boards, and it's actually made up of representatives from each of the economic development corporations for the area. So those are the people that are constantly marketing their communities and trying to attract those businesses to come to our area, and they're trying to showcase our talent, our land available, all of those things. So what we've done is we've paid for this tool, and it is embedded in our East Texas Economic Development District website, which is eted.org. And basically all of those EDCs, as we call them, those economic development corps, they can list all of their available properties online for, it's usually, you know, maybe major manufacturing, all of those types of businesses that we're trying to attract to the area. So they can see the available properties. They can actually see very detailed demographics of the region, our population, how many people are educated, how we spend our money, who has transportation, who doesn't. This tool is very robust, and it's actually GIS. It's a GIS mapping tool. So I can even open a map and turn on broadband layers and see exactly where all the infrastructure is in a report, or I can see where all of our workforce lives, you know. So it basically is doing all of the research that these companies are typically looking into uh-huh. when they're considering communities, and they're doing that research for them in a few clicks of a button. Mm-hmm. It's also saving our EDCs some money. You know, we've got the Tyler, we've got the Longview, we've got some bigger communities in our region, and they might have the budget to support this type of marketing tool. But East Texas is primarily rural,
yeah.
and many of them might be a one-person team, or it might be the city manager that's also doing this aspect of the job.
Mm-hmm.
So this board just recognized how much the tool would help all of those developers in the area in the work that they're doing, trying to bring more development. So
okay.
we're excited. But also it has community information. I get calls a lot serving as public information officer here. People are needing, you know, basically community data a lot of the times. Maybe they work for a nonprofit that's trying to find funds or, you know, various reasons, but it's got, you can download pretty much any stat you want to know about East Texas in a click of a button, and it's all up to date with new data every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that 2010 census data, or even maybe the current one. It's even it's very up to date at
wow.
all times.
Wow. Lindsay Vanderbilt, East Texas Council of Governments, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Along that line, economic development, I wanted to mention briefly, we just learned within the last week or so that the Tyler metro area came in number one in the state and number six in the nation for fastest job growth between December 2020 and December 2021. But you don't want to sit still. You want to build on that. And not every part of East Texas is in that mode. As you mentioned, every community has its own challenges. We're a primarily rural area. So basically what you're telling me about this Economic Development District data tool is just really interesting. And it'll be very interesting, I'm sure, to all of us to see how that plays out between now and the next time you and I sit down for a visit. Along the lines of jobs, economic development, a lot of people don't know that Workforce Solutions East Texas is actually part of ETCOG. That was an interesting fact for me to find out. And just also within the past few days, we had a story running on KTBB about your five new access point locations. This is a project that makes it easier for people to get where they need to go if they're looking for not just a job, but a good job, something that's going to hold up well for them and to get all the services they need. Let's kind of run down exactly, first of all, tell us where these five access, what an access point is and what these five access points are that have just been added within the last few weeks.
Yes, sir, absolutely. You know, Workforce Solutions East Texas, we serve the employers and the job seekers of the area. Basically, if you're one of those two categories, we have services that you can benefit from. And we, a long time ago, used to have a large center in every single county we serve. So we had 14 centers.
Mm-hmm.
It just got very, very cost prohibitive to operate that way. So we, over many years, have reduced down to five main centers, and that's in Longview, Tyler, Athens, Palestine, and Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
We have mobile units that travel the area too. They look
right.
like big RVs. But part of the strategy to help reach all of our rural residents and not cause them to have to travel far to a workforce center is that we've been developing community partnerships to open what we call access points. And that's where anyone that needs services can really meet with one of our career advisors and receive assistance. So they can register for work in Texas, help get help with their job searches, register for our workshops, and access any of our resources. So the brand new ones that we have opened in the last couple of weeks, we have one at Panola College that we're very excited about. And in Camp County, we located in the Habitat for Humanity building. Yeah, it's a cute little beige building near downtown.
That's downtown Pittsburgh.
Yes, downtown Pittsburgh. Something unique about these access points I failed to mention is it's not open 8 to 5 all the time like our normal centers.
Right.
We do have a schedule for them. Some, depending on the location, are a few days a week. Some are only one day a week. So I do encourage you to check out our website, which is easttexasworkforce.org, and look at the service hours. In Rusk County, we opened at the Rusk County Library. And in Upshur County, we are operating an open door pregnancy center. And in Anderson County, we have our most recent station location to open is Hope Station, which is on Magnolia Street.
Okay, so, and that's Henderson, Gilmer, and Palestine, just to be specific. County seats in all of those counties is where these are located, basically.
Yes, and we actually have a total of 12. Those that I listed before are just our brand new ones. We've had quite a few operating for a while, and that is we have one at Kilgore College, at Jarvis Christian College in Hawkins, Raines County Library in Emory, Food for Life in Edgewood, the Texas Tech Satellite Campus in Jefferson, and Camp V and St. Louis Baptist Church in Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
The objective is many of these locations have a lot of students, for example, at the colleges or Camp V. We've got locations where people are visiting this location already, and they have a pretty big base of customers. So we saw those as good opportunities to serve the customers where they already are, you know, especially with the colleges. These are people that are going to be entering the workforce sometime soon. So we're trying to capture those audiences as they are making those transitions. And, for example, like the veterans, many of them have transitioned from service and they'll be, you know, changing their career path. So that's a great opportunity for us to reach them where they're already visiting.
And that would be Camp V and Tyler would be the primary example. Yeah.
Right. So we're thankful for our partner locations. They help us use the funds for East Texas more effectively than paying rent in every single facility, you know, area. And it helps us capture audiences that are already established. So it's really just like a win-win. And we're seeing just a lot of momentum with them. People are visiting. People are commenting, I'm glad I wanted these services, but I didn't really want to drive 30 minutes to your center.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's been a great experience so far.
Okay. Lindsay Vanderbilt, East Texas Council of Governments, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Contact information, etcog.org. And you may want to check out the separate websites for the Workforce Solutions of East Texas and also the Economic Development Project that you have going on. Can they link up to those through the ETCOG website?
Yes.
Okay,
you
good.
Can. These services are so robust, though, you know, many times they link out to full agency websites on the other end.
Okay. So. ETCOG.org is the starting point, though, for anybody who has really any questions about what we're talking about this morning. 903-218-6400 and still same location you've been at as long as I can remember, 3800
you know,
Stone
Kilgore,
Road in Kilgore.
The reason we're located in Kilgore, or how we began our location in Kilgore in 1970, is that it is the central in our region. It's considered like the middle point.
That's pretty much the way I recall it. Okay, just a few more minutes left in the show, Lindsay, and I want to go over some things, maybe just in brief, that we haven't really talked about too much this morning. At the top of your list of services, disaster recovery assistance, and the subhead is pandemic and natural disaster resources, and that's just one of many things that you do that I think have really taken on lives of their own. Tell us a little bit about what you do with regard to that one, and then we'll kind of maybe briefly go over some of the others.
Well, you know, actually, we have been providing disaster assistance in a few ways over many years. You might remember some of the tornadoes that hit the region.
Who can forget?
When things like that happen, there are usually funding. There's usually funding that comes to East Texas, and that typically will come to the Council of Governments so that we help that community see where it's needed to be expended. So, say when we've had the tornado, we help in that way. We've had some homes that we've been able to help applicants on trying to get their homes rebuilt. We also deploy our own resources in the event of a disaster, like if people, you know, need to transport folks, we'll send our go buses. We've got some drones that we've used to map wildfires when we were experiencing that. It's just been, prior to the pandemic, we were already doing some disaster assistance, but when the pandemic happened, we actually were able to get some funds from EDA and the CARES Act to hire a disaster recovery coordinator. So this person helps these communities apply for available assistance that they could benefit from in their communities. So there's still EDA CARES Act funds. Our team can help. When I say our jurisdictions are usually who can apply, the cities and the counties.
Mm-hmm.
And our team helps them research the grants, write the grants, and hopefully help them get submitted so their communities can benefit from what's available.
Okay. Talking to Lindsay Vanderbilt with the East Texas Council of Governments on In Focus, I'm John Sims. Some of the other things on the list that we haven't already covered: environmental programs, senior services, public safety, public transportation. I think just maybe a brief capsule of the Area Agency on Aging. As the population continues to grow older, that becomes more and more important.
It is. This is one of my favorite programs at COG. It's just so wonderful. Most people are aware of Meals on Wheels. That funding comes through our office. Meals on Wheels of East Texas is one of our vendors that serves several of our counties.
Uh-huh.
And then we have some other vendors throughout the region and even serve some of our counties ourselves. So all of those home-delivered meals of the people that need assistance that way, or they might even be going to our congregate centers, that really starts through our office, and it's something that's just wonderful to be a part of. But we have many other services through what we call the AAA, that's Area Agency on Aging.
Yeah.
They do benefits counseling, so if you have Medicare and you've got to pick your plan and you don't know what to do, these are people that have, like, no skin in the game. They're going to give you unbiased advice.
Uh-huh.
So that's hard to find. A lot of seniors are targeted with, you know, fraud or campaigns. So these are just great sound advisors that can explain, you know, actually what's going to be most beneficial. We also do a lot of caregiver support. We do health and wellness programs. Even through the pandemic, we've been doing them online. We've got some seniors that do online Tai Chi and just a lot of fun stuff. We are also the ombudsman for the area, which serve as the public advocates for individuals in nursing homes or care facilities. Many times they don't feel like they can bring up their concerns to the people that are caring for them without, like, you know, maybe being retaliated against.
Yeah.
So that is called the Ombudsman Program, and we send our advocates through all the facilities in East Texas and take their complaints and help navigate those and seek resolution on their behalf.
And the list goes on and on and on.
Does.
And we have about a minute left in the show. I'm glad I asked you specifically about AAA because I kind of sensed that you would have a lot to say about that. But, you know, again, public transportation, public safety, environmental programs, disaster recovery assistance, of course, economic development, GIS and IT services, workforce development, and I made a little note to myself, and lots more. And you can find out about all of it at etcog.org by calling 903-218-6400 and the office, of course, 3800 Stone Road in Kilgore, 75662. Let's throw the zip code in there as well. Hey, Lindsay, it's been great visiting with you as always. Thanks for all the great information about the East Texas Council of Governments. We look forward to hearing more from you and to maybe getting together in another year and a half and doing this all over again. Lindsay Vanderbilt with the East Texas Council of Governments. Thanks so much for joining us and for all the great information.
Thank you, John.
You bet. Again, Lindsay Vanderbilt, East Texas Council of Governments, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. As always, thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next week on In Focus.